Well, I'm very appreciative of the hard work that's been done by the members of the General Assembly, by their presiding officers. What we were able to pass in this budget session is a budget that's good for Maryland, a budget that increases our investment in public education of our number one public schools. We've been able to make college education more affordable, even though in other states they're making college education more expensive. We've protected important competitive advantages that we have in life science, biotech, research and development that allows us to create jobs in the new economy. These have not been easy years, but what has held us in better stead than most other states is that we have been applying a balanced approach to not only balancing the budget and maintaining the AAA bond rating, but also protecting the investments that allow us to have a better rate of job growth than most other states. There are good months, there are bad months, but we move forward. And I'm very grateful to Speaker Bush and also the Senate President. Once their members and their fiscal leadership came together around the parameters of this agreement, we were able to complete the work on the fiscal 13 budget. And next year there will be another annual budget. But the important news, I believe, from the standpoint of all of us as Marylanders, is that we've not only been able to make the cuts, not only been able to do the tough things on revenues to balance the budget, but we've also been able to protect our priorities, the most important of which being the priorities of our children's education, public safety, and our ability to create jobs in a new economy.
Governor, do you think that this change puts Maryland, and I suppose you by extension, to the left of where most governors are right now when they're looking at addressing budget shortfalls?
No, I think this puts Maryland ahead of where most states are right now when they look to addressing budget shortfalls. There are many states that are not capable politically of applying a balanced approach, and you see that borne out in their in so many aspects of their economy. For our economy, we know that the more a person learns, the more a person earns, the more that that person contributes not only to the life and the economic security of their own family, but also to the economic prosperity of their entire state. So I don't look at it as a spectrum from right to left. I look at it as a direction of forward or back, and we choose to move forward.
Governor, you were talking about cuts. But as your friends in the Party of Lincoln continually point out, the size of the budget has grown every year. Can you explain the cuts?
Actually, some years it has not grown. Overall, these years, the rate of growth has been lower than any other time. This year is the, I think, third lowest growth when it comes to the general fund of the budget. And we have eliminated cumulatively 5,600 positions from government. Our state and local government employment, our bureaucracy, is the eighth most lean in the country, according to the last census numbers. And yet we have been able to achieve some of the better job growth in the nation over the course of the last year, the best public schools in America for the first time. We have made a lot of cuts. We've made more, quite frankly, than were made in the entire 4 years of my predecessor's term. Certainly when government grew by the greatest amount and spending increased by the greatest amount. But we have together decided to invest more in the education of our children. Think about this. We do invest more in the education of our children and have been doing so pretty consistently over the last 6 years, even as we've cut everything else. But we have the best public schools in America now. We can still make them better. We have been investing less and less in our transportation infrastructure, and we now have the worst traffic congestion in the United States of America. So there's good and bad consequences for the good and bad decisions that we make together. But there are only eight states that have a AAA bond rating. We're one of them. And no governor since the Great Depression has made greater cuts than this administration has made, and no administration since the Great Depression has reduced the executive workforce by greater numbers than we have.
Governor, there's been a lot of discussion over the past 2 days that the structural deficit, although you're chipping away at it, still exists and is going to come back and haunt the state next year and year after year after. Plus, there was discussion about a special fund for transportation. The possibility exists there's another special session later this year. Is that an opportunity to address both those, and how would you address them?
Well, the structural deficit, so-called, I consider to be, at this point, much more of a recessionary deficit. We are still, it's a challenge. It's a challenge for every state. I will say, though, and you all know this from covering Annapolis year in and year out, the gap and the projected gap is smaller now than it's been in the last 6 years. And we do continue to bring it down. For 6 years in a row, we've submitted a budget that is within spending affordability guidelines, and we were able to reduce by 50% in this budget the projected deficit, I do believe. Somebody fact-check me or correct me if I'm wrong on that, 50% reduction in the structural deficit. So, look, we Marylanders have a magic long-term solution that will somehow put us on a glide path and an assurance of, you know, reaching a destination without anybody tweaking or fixing anything else in our government. But every year it's a challenge. Every year it's work. Every 2 weeks we find ways to save money and make government more efficient. Every 2 weeks we find ways to save more lives and educate our children at higher and better levels. So this is ongoing work. Because of the positive trends in employment, and again, look, there are good months and there are bad months, but because of the positive trends in employment, we've now recovered 80% of the jobs we lost in the Bush recession. That, of course, redounds, thank you, to positively for our revenues. And so that gap continues to close. As far as the transportation funding, that remains a big challenge. We weren't able to do that this session. There were many things we weren't able to jam into this final budget resolution as much as some of us might have wished to put, for example, wind energy into this final session as much as many of us might have wanted to put transportation funding solutions into this. We weren't able to do that. We had to focus on accomplishing the bottom line of the business of the people and putting together an annual budget. But there was certainly some good discussion about the need for transportation funding. I think we recognize that we're investing less and less in transportation infrastructure, and our traffic is therefore becoming worse and worse. So there's two ways that were discussed in the body of the session to do that. One was the dreaded and hated gasoline tax. The other was a dedicated penny on the sales tax. And I think you heard people talking about that more probably in the last 3 days here seriously than you did in the last 10 days of the regular session. So the gaming issue remains one that's unresolved. The wind, pit bulls, there are many issues that remain unresolved. And all of those are important issues. This special session was called for one purpose, and that was to conclude the work on the fiscal budget for the upcoming year so that we can protect our schools, continue to protect our ability to create jobs in a new economy, and to make college more affordable for more people, and as well as protecting the public safety.